We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Faith Rothberg. Faith's career has always been at the intersection between business and technology. She started as a programmer for Ford Motor Company, graduated from the University of Minnesota with an MBA, was a manufacturing information technology consultant with KPMG, served as a project manager for Wells Fargo, and then staged a bloodless coup after joining the business her husband founded, College Recruiter. Faith's passion for helping young adults find great careers is evident in everything that College Recruiter does. As its integrator, Faith is a hub around which the organization revolves. Faith, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori. I am here.
Well, I'm excited you're here too, and we're going to have a great conversation. So with your background and helping individuals find jobs, why don't you share with me what are the top two ways that candidates find jobs?
Sure. So the top two ways, according to Research Talent Board, which also runs what's called the Candidate Experience Awards. So career sites that do a really good job of making it an easy experience to apply for jobs. That talent board, and as well as a organization called Career Crossroads, say that the two top ways that candidates find jobs are one through networking and referrals, and then through job sites like ours, like College Recruiter.
All right. So networking is obviously what the main discussion is about here today. But secondary through websites, College Recruiter. Yeah. So I think it's a really good tie-in to have you on the show. We're going to have some really good conversation today. That being said, if you're a small business, what are ways that you recommend hiring students and recent grads?
Sure. So traditionally, the way that a lot of businesses hire students and grads is they go on campus. They do on-campus recruiting. And that is quite costly. They spend a lot of time trying to build relationships with professors and the career service offices, and really not a practical way to do things. But rather than that, what I think is a great, some great ideas of ways to hire students and grads is to get involved in schools that are in your community, and go to the campuses, to the clubs. Like, let's say you need some marketing people or you need some salespeople. Go to the marketing club, ask them how you can help them. Maybe offer to sponsor pizza at every monthly meeting they have. And then also go talk to some of the marketing professors and say that you'd like to maybe be a guest lecturer in their classroom. And it's a great way to personalize yourself, your company, and make those personal connections so that students and professors will think about you as a place to find a good job. The other great way to do it is to also make sure you do use job boards. But in doing that, you pick sites that I think will help you the best, sites that are more niche. So if you're looking for a marketing person, look for a niche marketing site rather than a huge site where you're going to get a lot of candidates that aren't as qualified necessarily looking for.
And that really good advice there, getting involved with the schools altogether and connecting with the professors, you know, speaking to the students directly and starting to build those relationships definitely makes sense. So in your relationships with the different universities and campuses and whatnot, I'm sure you've got a lot of travel going on. What's the most interesting place that you've traveled to?
Well, actually, So for work, the most, probably for work, the most interesting place I've traveled to was speaking at a conference in London, which isn't the most exotic place, but is definitely abroad. And that was a lot of fun. And hearing the perspectives in my industry from another country, and where they're at and what kind of regulations impact hiring and things like that was very, very intriguing. And I met a lot of amazing people from different countries, because Europe, they're also much closer together. So I met people from Belgium and Switzerland and Germany. And so that was really an exciting kind of work experience with travel. The other experience I had, I was much younger. It was after graduate school at Michigan, and I traveled to India. And the reason I found that so interesting was because it was so different. I was fortunate enough to know several foreign nationals that had gone to school with me in Michigan, and they went back home. And so I was able to visit them. And so there was a friend that from India, and so we stayed in some local places. We stayed in an apartment his parents had in Mumbai and things like that. And so I find that kind of traveling fascinating, because I love learning, and being that lifelong learner, I think, is so important. And that was an amazing experience to open my eyes to that global perspective, which I think is also, it's kind of cool, because the job seekers that I serve are students and college students and recent grads. And one of the things they all like and want to do is travel. And I think it's a great idea, because our world is just becoming more and more global. And I think it's more and more important to understand other cultures. So that was a very cool experience.
Well, and knowing that your students, your target audience there, travels a big, so it's something important to them. It's easy for you to relate to them because of all these experiences that you've encountered. So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to some people, networking is a really scary word that invokes fear and hesitation and uncertainty. Let's remove some of that fear as I ask you this next question. Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
Sure. So I was working a job here in Minneapolis for KPMG. I was doing consulting, and I was traveling like 100% of the time. And after about 3 years of that, it got very old. And I wanted to try and become more settled in Minneapolis. And I decided I wanted to look for a new career experience. And what I decided to do was reach back out to business school. And at that time, there was not a great thing called the internet. And so I reached out to the business school and said, can I get the alumni list? And they sent it to me through the mail. It was this big paper list of all these different individuals that lived in my area, lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the Metro, and had been a graduate of Michigan at some point previously. And lo and behold, on that list were some very, there were some very senior people in several companies. And what I did, I called them, and it gave me a talking point that for most people is at least a positive experience from their past, whether it's indeed, at least it's a positive experience. Oh, when I went back, when I went to grad school back there at Michigan. And so it was an easy opener on a phone call. And so I called these people and I would say, hey, I'm a Michigan alum. I see that you are a Michigan alum too. I've been doing this job traveling. I'm wondering if I could meet you, if you'd be willing to meet and let me buy you a cup of coffee so I can understand what you're doing in your career, because I'm looking for a career change. And I think I would say everybody that I asked that question was willing to meet. So that's one way to get rid of fear. Most people want to help other people. They may not always have them, but they may find it, you know, a month from now. And so I think that's one way to get rid of fear, is to realize that people actually really like talking about themselves. They like to try and help somebody else in their career. And so think about it. And I ended up meeting with somebody from the Dayton Hudson Corporation, which is now the Target Corporation. He was a director in their IT shop. At the time, I was doing all IT work. And so what happens when you sit down with these people, it's really interesting, because as you talk to them, not only, and if you do it in a way that's non-threatening, so you don't say, I'm looking for a job at your company, but you rather say, I'd love to hear about how you got to your position. And when you start talking, and they are inquisitive too, and they start asking you questions, and before you know it, sometimes you actually even get offered a job. In that case, I was, he told me about three different managers that he was going to tell about me, and that they'd reach out to me. In that case, I didn't end up getting a job there, but there were a couple other big companies. One of them was 3M, which most people know, and another was Wells Fargo, and I ended up working at Wells Fargo. So it's a really great way. And usually also the other thing that's really easy about makes networking easier, I should say, because you're right, a lot of people are very uncomfortable. But once you meet with that first person, and at the end of the conversation, if you say, can you think of anyone else I should be meeting with? Now you've got, and most of the time they'll give you one or two, or maybe even three people that you should meet with. And once you've got those names, and you have the name of the person you just sat with, and they already know those people, it's like it just gets easier and easier to get these meetings. And it becomes really fun, because you hear and learn a lot about different companies even before you get that job.
Yeah, no, that is a fantastic experience that you just shared with us. And I would say you basically had no fear to even just step up and take the initiative to reach out to the school and ask for the alumni list. I think a lot of people would just even have fear to take that initial step. But, you know, obviously it's a resource and it's a tool and it's available to you as, you know, part of that alumni group. So why not utilize it? And then I'm just really impressed that you went through the list and said, I'm going to make this happen. And look at the opportunities that you got, connecting with people at 3M, at Target. And obviously that's where you ended up with your position at Wells Fargo. Great story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah. And you know, some of it can be, you're right. I think I'm totally not, I'm a very outgoing person. I'm definitely an extrovert, and so I don't have trouble with that, but I can tell you that I've helped a lot of other friends and family who it isn't as easy for. And I think given everything we can find on it now too, there are ways that you can start to do it that aren't as threatening, but you still have to make that initial contact. You really do. So having someone to support you in it is another really great idea if you're nervous.
Yeah. Kind of having that networking buddy. I'm a huge, huge fan of that system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So now that you've gone through and you've kind of established this network and, you know, this huge group of people that you have at the hands of your fingertips here. How do you stay in front of or best nurture your network?
What I've done in the past, I would say, definitely keep some top of mind using simple things like LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is fantastic for networking. And so, you know, I'll get, just the other day, my work anniversary came up. And so, you know, people will just send you that quick message, hey, congrats on your anniversary. You see a lot of faces, some people you really know well, some people were maybe from that one experience that you had, and it reminds you of them. And so sending a short message if it's something particular to that person is a great idea. And then periodically, really reaching out and meeting with people as your career moves forward. So, you know, you may find that you're starting to do some new, you're starting to need some new skills, for instance, into the next promotion, the next position. And a great way to help yourself and to continue to learn is to look at your network and see if there are other people already doing that job, or other people that you remember had some advice quite a while ago or whatever, and then reaching out and setting up a coffee or going to lunch with one of them. And of course, offering to meet close to them because they're doing you a favor. So I think that's a really good way to kind of keep your network going, and then also to nurture the parts that are helpful to both you and to them. You know, one of the things about networking that I think people don't realize or don't take as seriously that's very important is it's not only about what other people can do for you. Yeah. It's truly about what you can also help them with. And that comes back to you in spades. So whether it's from an ethical and moral value standpoint that you just love helping people and you want to be there for other people, or it's truly even just for what's best for you and your career and your company or where you work, then it still makes sense, because when you help somebody out, they are so quick. So I think that's really important to remember.
Great advice there for sure. And I think when you go into this, you know, just building your network and nurturing your network, you can't go in saying, what am I going to get out of this relationship? You know, you have to go in with the mindset of how can I help these other people? And I agree with you 100% on that. So that being said, what advice would you offer to the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
Well, I would start by, I would definitely make sure that they're utilizing LinkedIn and any other kinds of professional resources. One of the things I would do is actually start to join some organizations, whether they be local or national, depends on, you know, what your interests are and what your what types of network you're trying to create, or what kind of people you're looking to connect with. But, you know, finding an organization that supports your career interests is a really great way to start meeting people and building a network. If you're, you know, my developers that work here at College Recruiter, they work in PR as a Midwest PHP club, basically, where they learn and share from each other. That's a great way for a person like that to network, to maybe, you know, find their next job somewhere else. Not that I want them to leave College Recruiter, but, you know, or to see what that next step is, or to gain experience from somebody else's experience already that's on the same career path as them. So joining an organization like that, you know, in whatever field you're in or whatever career steps you want to take is really great. An example of that for me is, as much as I have a great network, I'm running a company and I'm an entrepreneur, and I haven't always been that. And so that's an area where I want to expand my network. And there are some great organizations here in Minneapolis that really support entrepreneurs as a whole, and then also women entrepreneurs. So I've been starting to look into some different organizations, some of which are free, some of which cost money, and connecting with people that way to see where I might get, you know, the most enriching experiences with meeting people and sharing, and then also business experiences, like how to get through a challenge from somebody who has a similar size company as me.
Well, that's all really good advice for sure. I mean, definitely getting involved in groups or and finding ones that really support your long-term career goals great advice for sure. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Now getting you've kind of touched both of these. You touched, you know, LinkedIn, which is digital, and the traditional is really just getting out there and talking to people face to face. Which one do you find more value in, the digital networking or the traditional networking?
You know, I would definitely say traditional networking. I think that the digital networking is a great asset to helping you more quickly do traditional networking. But by far, I think one of the biggest changes that has come about with all the technology that we have is that people more and more hide behind the technology. It's really easy to do. I find myself doing it too. I'd rather send an email than pick up the phone. I'd rather send a text than, you know, go find the person. It's just a lot easier. It's a lot less threatening in some ways, but then you actually don't get as much, not only, you don't get as much satisfaction out of it. People need to still be communicating with each other face to face and sharing their experiences. And so I think it's even more important now than ever to get yourself out there to meet people and to make, you know, one of the things it does is it kind of makes things happen. You know, if you sit in your house and sit behind your computer all day, less likely that things are going to happen than if you're out there talking to different people and someone says, oh, I know the perfect person for you. You know, and you're just having a conversation where your skills, but maybe your personality, and they're like, oh my gosh, you just made me think of so-and-so. And that would be an awesome opportunity, or they definitely know how to do what you're trying to. So definitely that traditional face-to-face is, I just think, so important.
Yeah, I definitely agree that traditional is just more tends to happen. I think digital, it's kind of a supporting tool and kind of that nurturing component of that traditional. But you said something that I found a little bit interesting that kind of, you know, got my head spinning a little bit, as far as that digital. I mean, one, it is something that people are like hiding behind that technology. But it's also like that short instance that something's happening and the value that's there, or the substance that's there, and maybe there is value that's happening, but then it just kind of disappears and you haven't necessarily totally associated the who behind, you know, that what was received. Where traditional, it's like you're talking
that's
to someone
a good point.
Yeah, you're talking to someone and that face is kind of embedded in your mind that this is a person that is giving me this value.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I mean, using that digital and thinking about that, if you can be conscious of that, maybe you can catch a little bit more of the why or the who. Mm-hmm. By just being cognizant that you're getting the what really quick, but then what does that really mean? Or maybe being a little more interactive with your digital, you know, shooting something back and asking another question.
Yeah. Or just saying, hey, thanks
so
for sharing
much.
That. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's so much value to technologies. And I'm, you know, I grew up, that's what I ended up doing the beginning of my career. I was a computer programmer. So I love technology and I have no fear around technology. I just think that it's important that we use it as another tool in our toolbox and that we don't let it replace things that are also still really valuable tools to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, so let's change up the pace here and I'm going to switch to a couple fun questions. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Sure. So, no, at first this was a little bit tough for me because I did sort of follow, because I think partly because of what you said, which is I have no fear of networking. So I'm very outgoing. I, you know, started to follow the very good path of, you know, at 20 years old, what did I start with? I got a great job out of college through the career service office. I kind of did that stuff in what most people would say is, quote, kind of the right way. Or so I got off to a really good start. But what I think I would say, looking back from now, is that I should have had more confidence in my entrepreneurial skills. I really did not realize how much that hole that I have, that all around business, not only knowledge, but sort of gut, that leads me in a great direction, and how much I would actually love the idea of putting it all together to produce the outcome. So having more confidence in that kind of stuff would have probably led me into it a little bit earlier. And I think I really didn't realize it until I stepped in full time in a business I own with my husband. And he had run it for quite a number of years with me as we would say free consultant. I got to do all the fun strategy stuff, but I didn't really work in it head on. And now running it and managing people and adding staff and looking at products and looking at all the things, I just realized what an entrepreneur I am. And I guess I wish I would have figured that out sooner. So I would have had more years to pursue more things with it. But I've still got quite a good number of years to go.
So yeah, I was going to say,
keep going.
You're not laying on your deathbed yet.
No, definitely not.
You got lots of years in you, lots and lots.
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you always have this inkling to become an entrepreneur? Was it just kind of sitting in the back of your head and your own little inner critic was saying you're not good enough? Or what was, what was that?
I think I didn't consider it.
Okay.
Which is kind of odd. I mean, when I look back, there were so many points in my career where it makes sense. And even with my volunteering. So I can think of a number of times where I volunteered while I was working part-time in our business and raising our children. I did a lot of volunteering in the school, but a lot of the things that I volunteered to do, I would say, sure, we can do that. And it would be something that had never been done before. And then I would just make it happen. I would find other people to help me. I would find the resources. I would talk to, you know, whoever. And I think, you know, looking back now, I can see that that's truly what I love to do. And that when you say you can do it and then you go and make it happen, it's just such a satisfying, wonderful experience. So it wasn't really sitting there, certainly not when I first graduated from college. When I first was in college and looking to that first job, it was more about getting a really solid job where, you know, I could live independently and save money and start my career. Mm-hmm. And that was really all I was thinking about at that point, which was something that, you know, was very achievable back then, much more so than now, given the state of where everything is with school and economy and all that good stuff. But, yeah, so I don't think I ever really, and also, you know, now there's so much more about entrepreneurship. There's so many more small businesses always starting. Not that there always weren't, but there's just so much more that's very out there about it. And probably had I had that environment when I was younger, I probably would have thought of it sooner.
Yeah. Interesting. That definitely makes sense. So let's switch it up again here. We've all heard of the 7 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
You know, this was a great question because I had I've never really thought about it. And I've never really made it a goal to do that. But actually, right now, one of the people that I think would be phenomenal to meet would be Michelle Obama. And when I think about that, I actually do know several ways that I would definitely be within 6 degrees of separation. And it's kind of interesting because I know some people in Chicago who were very involved with the Obamas in Chicago and would know people that know them, and someone here in Minneapolis as well. And so I find it kind of fascinating when you ask that. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, wow, I could actually try to do that. But then, quite honestly, right now, I don't know what I would say.
I'm sure once the time presented itself or the opportunity presented itself that you would be able to have a lot to say. And there's probably just so many questions. Well, I really hope that you leverage the relationships that you have to make that happen, because I'm sure that would just be a fascinating experience for you and huge learning opportunity, and who knows what would come from that. So
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you really pursue that opportunity.
Yeah, so, I have to think about it. It's not a bad idea.
I can hear that grin in your face right now. Yeah. Just as you're saying, like, yeah, you need to move forward and do it. Come on, you don't have any fear. You've already proven that to us.
So. That's right.
So just go do it.
That's right. okay.
So,
I will.
So someone who's very well connected with the education community, and as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you're just like me, you never stop learning, you know, and you're just, it's continuous improvement and whatnot. And I often do that by books and eBooks. And I'm always curious what other entrepreneurs and business professionals are reading. So what's currently on your nightstand?
Well, the one I'm rereading right now is a book called Traction, Get a Grip on Your Business. And it has something in it called the Entrepreneur's Operating System. And it's really an awesome framework for growth, for a way to make sure you're focused on where you're going. So rereading it because we're using that model and I really want to make sure I'm missing anything. And of course, when you reread something that's a learning tool, you're always going to see new things in it. So that's one thing I have on my book stand. The other one actually isn't a business book right now. I really decided I needed something lighthearted. Everything feels pretty intense right now. And so I'm actually reading this book called, I'm not sure how to pronounce the guy's name, but it's called, a man called Ove, O-V-E. And it's a New York Times seller reading me. I'm not that far into it, but it is supposed to be a very warm-hearted, humorous kind of a book where an older grumpy man becomes nice and kind with his family that has little kids that give him a hard time. So I haven't gotten very far in it, but it's just a nice way to like let your brain kind of pause too. And just enjoy.
I can totally relate to that because sometimes I just get so deep into the business books that it's good to just read something totally random fairy tale story. But going back to Traction, I've read that book and I've got it on audiobook and I've got it as an ebook. So I've got basically every version possible of it. Because it's a great tool. There's a lot of nice little, tips and worksheets or like action items that you can easily reference back to. Now there's a book that was written before Traction, I think. What was that one called? I don't remember.
By the same person?
Yep. And it's basically more of a story as opposed to, like, here's the steps to implement EOS, but it's kind of running through a business that kind of went through it. So I'm actually rereading that one as well right now.
You know, I should take a look at that one. I haven't read that one, but I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. The name of it is not,
is it like How to Be a Great Boss?
No, this is going to drive me nuts now. It might just be Get a Grip. I don't know.
It might be. You're right. It is Get a Grip.
Are you Googling it right now?
It is Get a Grip. I'm Googling it right now and I see that. And then,
I'd recommend that because it's more like just kind of walking you through, a business that's kind of trying to figure out how to, be more efficient and whatnot. And someone, it's just like the story of a business going through it. So, it's a little bit more relatable.
Those are really helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Those are really helpful.
Yeah. I'd recommend checking out that one too. Same author for sure. Fantastic. Okay, cool. So this was a really good conversation here. Any final words or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Nothing new, just to really remember to try and do the interpersonal stuff. And then do things that may, the idea of joining a club or organization, join something that you're really interested in, because if you're really interested in it, then you're going to have fun whether you meet people or not. And then also because you're having fun and enjoying it, you will end up meeting other people that feel the same way. So I just think that's so important.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100% with that. Let's see, if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
So in the interest of being true to everything I just said, they can definitely call me at my phone number, which is 952-215-1488, or they can email me at faith@collegerecruiter.com.
All right. And we will include all that information in the show notes. So that's going to finish it up here. Thanks so much, Faith, for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Lori. I really enjoyed it. I'm pretty passionate about this topic, so it was really, really awesome that that's what you asked me about.
Great.
It was a fun conversation.
Absolutely. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you goes to Faith for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.